Welcome to the party, pals. It's the all-day live stream, week two, Seahawks v. Patriots, Seahawks at Patriots. What's up, Loaf?
What up, brother?
How you doing, man?
Undefeated. I'm doing pretty damn well. A win is a win, right? And on the road, we got our first test. That's a win.
Yeah,
and we'll get into it. But yeah, undefeated feels pretty damn good, Brett.
It's good that we do these a few hours later, because immediately after this win, I was pissed, man, a little bit. So sometimes the Seahawks, I don't know if you guys feel me out there, you guys listening, the faithful 12s. Sometimes even after a win, like I'm mad sort of at some things in the moment that didn't go great. And we'll go through the whole game here in moments where I was mad. But to be honest, after this one, I was just like, I was a little upset. And then as the hours have gone by, I'm getting happier and happier and more relieved and realizing that these are the kinds of wins that you need to chalk up throughout a season in order to take you where you want to go anyway. So
chalk up. Okay, brother, let me bring the player perspective.
Please do.
All right. So all right, two new head coaches, but specifically ours, right?
Yeah.
You're at home. We went through all sorts of adversity, right? Mm-hmm. Which I told you about. We're going to get tested. You go on the road and we're getting tested again against a team that went into Cincinnati, who just took KC to the limit, right? And there were some questionable calls in that game. We'll look at that in the around the league later, though. But, you know, going on the road, traveling, the first, you know, experience under the new head coach, it was, they gutted it out, man. And that's what it takes. You know what I'm saying? Like, just kept going at it. And they can't, you come out of there with the win, overtime, like, cheers to our boys.
Hard fought victory for sure. There's no denying it. We talked about it on our preview episode for this game, that this was going to be a hard hitting game, maybe even one of the games of the weekends and of the weekend. And I think it kind of turned out to be. It was exciting. If you look at it from just a regular NFL fan perspective, this exciting game, overtime game, two good defenses going back and forth. Some great, you know, exciting plays, amazing quarterback play, incredible quarterback play, which we have coming up next. The astute all day audience will notice the change in graphics here. Look at this. It looks beautiful. We got a rundown at the bottom. You guys can see what's coming up next. Thank you guys for joining the stream, by the way, and the chat. You guys are filling up the chat. Do that. We'll get to the Q&A.
Big mic on the graphics, right?
Absolutely.
But, you know, I look at the Patriots, and they almost remind us of us 2 years ago when Geno got his first start. I really think this is going to be a hell of a team, you know, and Mayo's doing a great job. You look at the stats, like, it looks like a defensive-led coaching, you know, team.
Yeah.
Just trying to do as few mistakes, a lot of discipline, you know, ball control. Run game, you know, everything that Pete preached when, you know, he was here. And so it's, they're going to be a good team. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they, because that East is wide open now. That East is wide open. So I wouldn't count them out. I think they have a chance to make the playoffs, but they remind us. And then you look at Brissett, it almost mirrors like Geno, promising early round draft pick. I think they were both second. And just don't get their real chance until year 10, which I think Brissett's probably 8 or 9, but he's a damn good ball player. He did some great things getting out of the pocket. When we lost discipline, we lost the edge, contain, all those things. But he reminds me, and I'm pulling for him, just like I've pulled for Geno. And, that is our next topic if we want to get there. Because
we can slide on down the list. I was just going to say, though, I think for me, it's just like there just feels like unfinished business after this game, a bit unsatisfied is how I felt as a fan. And I don't mind that if the players felt that a little bit too, because you get the win, but they definitely know that there's things they need to work on. And so, you know, they get to work on those things, and that's how you become a better team. So it's just great that they have the W to rest on.
It's like art. It's never finished. It's like fashion. It's like fashion, as we'll get to later in the show. It's never finished.
Right? Geno, Gino. The headline is Gino is him. We love Gino on this show. Both of us are in agreement on that. However, we're not quite in agreement on when he should get his extension. However, this game today, he was on fire. He could have even had more completions if some guys would catch the ball for him. But you see the numbers there on the headline, 33 of 44, 75% completion percentage, 327 yards, a touchdown, and a QBR of 103.1. You love Geno possibly even more than I do, Lofa. Go for it.
I mean, you know, this is what he's capable of. This is what he is. Incredibly efficient is what these stats say to him. Not just like everybody else throws for a game like this. They're ready to like, oh, player of the year, MVP candidate. Are we going to see Geno up there? I hope so. He deserves it. And, you know, we'll get into like the run game and everything or lack thereof. Yeah. But he just put the team on his back and said, yeah, hey, boys, we're going to win this game. Like, and so that's just like we had Hogan on this week. He said that the guys all played for 12. These guys are playing for 7, man. And it couldn't be more evident. And, yeah, it was like you said, I think 4 or 5 drops. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking like they were right there. It wasn't like they were horrible throws or anything. And then even one was a spike. So that goes down as an incomplete. So these numbers could have – the efficiency could have even – like completion – or could have been even better, which is scary to think. But he had to have this kind of game. And we knew that when K-9 wasn't going to do his chance. I'll actually give you a little credit, partner.
Oh,
you said you were scared the K-9's out, and it proved to be true.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're right.
What made Geno so good in this game? I mean, he's so good at throwing from the pocket.
Decision-making. I mean, he used his legs his pocket presence, his ability to escape, when he knows what he's looking at, right? It's just how much time does he have to actually step into a throw? He stepped into one where his arm got hit and he got hit this way and just completed a strike for like 15 yards. Yeah. Another one to JSN over the middle. And, you know, he had a phenomenal game too. But, yeah, he spread the ball around. DK, awesome. And it's just – I got to give credit to Grubbsy. Grubbsy made shit happen, you know. Masterful play calling. But he really just put faith in number 7 and said, hey, man, this is your game. Man, go do it.
Yeah. 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 He was brilliant. I mean, it's interesting because it's like, I don't know why everyone always sounds surprised when Geno has a good game or why it's always talked about in this sort of way, because his numbers speak for themselves. He's, I think this was his 9th, game winning or game tying drive since 2022. That's a super high number in among all NFL quarterbacks.
Number one. That's number one.
There you go. Is that good?
Do you like that thing? Do you like that sort of thing?
Every time this happens, even Seahawks fans just go, oh, Geno had a good game.
Because I think narratives develop around people in their careers, just where if it didn't work out somewhere, it just follows you, right? It's a stigma. And it's just, it's unfortunate, but it's the truth. And it's even the same in the opposite regard. If you're a first round pick, you get ample opportunities. Like, you come from one, there's like 5 other lined up to bid for your services, right? Yeah. So it's just the way it is. And, but, you know, Geno, God, I mean, then there's the leadership, man. Like the guys, it's clear. That's what jumps out to me. The guys go to battle for him, just like we battled for 8, right? Hassid, like, we're like, we got you, bro. Like, don't even worry about anything. Like, we'll go for you.
Yeah, dude, Geno Smith, I mean, he's a good leader. He's tough as nails. He really just feels like the kind of guy that everybody in Seattle should just be 100% behind. But for some reason, it always just feels like there's a segment of this fan base just kind of waiting for him to not have good games, or just sort of waiting to kind of go like, I told you so on him in a way that I'm not used to it and I don't really understand it.
No, but you're right. And you know, it comes on the heels of, you know, you're replacing a guy that like, sure, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Talking about 3 here. Like, so, and just everything that he's meant to this city. And like, so it's tough to replace the man. Like, you know, Aaron Rodgers had to go through it. Steve Young had to go through it. Like, that's tough. And it's, you know, pretty special if you can rise to that level and just deliver when the pressure is just solely placed on your shoulders.
We got to turn this one to the All Day family here. How do you guys really feel about Gino? Start loading up the chat, and you know how to make the chats come up here on the screen for us. And so, I mean, give us your Gino thoughts. Start pumping those in there. Are you a Gino believer? When did you become a Gino believer? And if you're not a Gino believer after a game like this, or at least just a fervent Gino supporter for at least the, you know, this season and however long we have him, especially after a game like this, then what are you waiting for? I want to know. Like, if you're still not a Gino believer after this game, why? Why
What's
not?
It gonna take?
What are we What's missing? Gonna... What are Lofa and I missing? Put it in the chat. Put it in the comments. The receivers, man. Big day, huge day, big, huge numbers for DK when it's all said and done right there. Look at that. If you got him on your fantasy team, 10 receptions, 129 in the touchdown. And JSN, who I do have on my fantasy team, 12 receptions, 117. Wish he could have got a touchdown or scored there. But, hey, I'll take the receptions. Just awesome day by them, going off everywhere. Like, you got nothing but positive things to say about them, I'm sure. Tyler Lockett, quiet day, but he drew some penalties.
Well, I'm glad you said that. Let's just talk about it as a whole. I mean, first duo, which surprised the hell out of me with when you know, we're talking the history, right? With 10 and 100, we've had Lockett and DK together for a while. Doug Baldwin, maybe you've heard of him. Jermaine Kearse. Like, I would have thought this would have not, you know, not been a new record for the Seahawks. Right. So that's impressive. And then before I get to the guys, I got to give a shout out to Grubbsy again. The way he was getting them the ball was unlike what we've seen in the past.
Tell me about that. How?
Oh my God. Just give me DK on a, you know, just slant or a drag route. It's like 2 or 3 yards across, and give him the ball running full speed. And we're going to see who has the nuts to tackle that. Cause that's what I'm talking 3 or 4 times today. And you saw guys make business decisions like, oh shit, he's got the ball with a full head of steam. It's like, oh God. Mm-hmm. So I saw it. It had to be 3 or 4, and it was impressive. And then and I know DK, he's the kind of guy he wants to get revved up off creating opportunity and then just going. So anything vertical, his touchdown, always awesome. The drag though, it's a horizontal vertical, if you will. He's catching at full speed and then using his God-given ability.
Instead of just throwing it to him on one of those stupid bubble screens that I hate where he's standing still and has to get moved.
Yeah. So that's I don't want to see and you know, this is me literally, I'm on my couch being couch offensive coordinator. So I don't, someone's going to clip this and be like, oh, they're going to start talking about it in the media and shit. But DK on a bubble screen or just a screen, that's not really where his specialties lies. He is vertical and fast and strong and good luck stopping that.
Yeah.
And, even Lockett, I don't see him as a screen guy. We threw a screen to him, and I told you last year, I was I don't know why we keep throwing screens to him, because yes, the spatial awareness is there, but he's just older now, and he's still nimble, still quick, but it just sometimes you just find the ground a little too quick. JSN, Sharbs, K9, these are our quick screen. Russell Mania, I'm telling you, they get this guy in the mix. Just that preseason catch he came back to made the linebacker just run right by him. Yeah. I don't know if that linebacker stopped yet. I think he's still running. These are the guys that are special in quick area first, change of direction. So just play design wise, I think those are the guys I'd like to see get those opportunities. But either way, I thought it was a really masterful design by Grubbsy to incorporate these kind of plays.
Well, and drawing up plays for specific players, I think, too.
It was with full intention intention to get them the ball.
What about the drop passes, though? Because, man, do I want to tear my hair out. I know I'm just sitting on the couch, but how come they can make the most spectacular catches
Well, but then okay,
drop the routine ones that are right, hit them in both hands sometimes.
Well, let's stay on that. What we're talking about, design for who it is. So like a fan, he dropped one in the flats. And like, I think it's probably the second or third time I've seen it. You get that guy going vertical, no one wants to step in front of that. And then also not many people can catch him with his speed. So like him down the field, that's that deep over where he's 4 inches than the average middle linebacker. He's always open. Across the middle, when he gets to stop and catch it, at least almost like a deeper check down, he just powered through for a first down. He caught another one where he dragged guys. Like that's how I'd use him. I mean, he's special like that. Trying to think, JSN, I mean, the guy was ridiculous today, like absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Caught one in the flats
so far.
Yeah. Caught one in the flats on his back shoulder, caught another one behind him at the hips. Turn, made one guy miss, and then stretched out to get us to like a third and two or third and one. I told you, you can't play zone against this kid. Like him and Lockett, they pick their pockets because that's what it is you have to shut it down in zone and find the open space. There's windows and opportunities. And their timing of the windows and when it closes, they just go to the next window. And like they're a quarterback's dream to play with. So, it was unbelievable. The one play that JSN's going to be like, damn, I could have had 13 for, 170 for 130. The second and 20 after a holding penalty, wide open, Gino put it right there. And it was like arguably the easiest catch opportunity he had today. And like, I even saw him just like tap his chest, like my bad, but it's, but they're taking ownership. That's what it tells me. That's pretty cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah. They need to get the tight ends more involved for me. Like you said, I think you nailed that, especially with Fan. Like get him going up that seam.
He's a beast. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then for DK, a huge day, obviously. I'm not taking anything away. It's just that sometimes on the ball, there was the one that got broken up. But it's a bit 50. I don't know if it's exactly 50-50, but it's going to be a contested catch for sure. Right. Mm-hmm. I want to see him just Megatron people out there. And like where you remember, I mean, remember watching him, right? I mean, that's a Hall of Famer there, but like you just knew he was going to come down with it. And sometimes DK, like, I just feel like, I don't know. I just feel like he doesn't come down with those. And he always, I mean, the wide open one, and then he can show us the speed and the high step. Yeah.
That speed was ridiculous.
Just owning somebody in a way that, you know, Calvin Johnson or a big bodied receiver like he is can do.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And I believe it'll happen. But I saw today was the designs and the concepts that really suit him best. And so that's what going forward, like, good luck stepping in front of that bullet train because 6'3", 240. But he did have the second and one where Gino got flushed out and Gino threw it off his, you know, I don't know if his back foot, but to his right, he was falling away. Who came back to the ball? DK, we were talking about this, came all the way back, caught it, dragged his heels. He looked like Tyler Lockett. I mean, if Tyler Lockett was 6'3", 240, just absolutely jacked. But it reminded me of a Lockett-type play. Yeah. It was pretty cool to see.
Another guy who you want to see more involved in the pass game, and I'd agree with that, but running the ball, tough day running the ball. But Charbonnet, let's talk about Charbonnet. But Charbon can get you the yard when you needed it on some of those key plays. Like when you had to have it, he punched it in for the touchdown. So, you know, some of the plays that you had to have, he was able to get you that yard. But some of the other ones, just the first contact kind of, I mean, going down, it's not the same as it is having K9 back there. That was obvious. How much of it's on Charbonnet? How much of it's on the O-line?
Again, I think it goes hand in hand. Yeah, there was not much to be had there. And it was evident to me when the first and 10 that set up the game-winning field goal. And like you say, when he had to have, he bounced. He's just, there was a hole there, but there was also a safety coming to fill. And I believe Brady Russell was leading up through as a blocker, but like his instincts kicked in and he was just kind of like, fuck this. I got this. And he went for 9 yards and ran over two guys, right? Rather than going back up inside and then having to fight for 2 or 3 yards. So I think it's a combination of him trusting himself and what he's capable of. And then also play selection, like what kind of style or runs. I'd have to go back and watch his UCLA tape, right? To really know, was he a power runner with, you know, gap trap and pullers? Cause that's really, if you talk about where, and we'll get to it, I'm sure, where the Patriots had success, they were pulling one or two guys. And when you make those gap change, that creates angles for the offensive lineman, and it creates angles for the running back to have two or three options. And from there, they just have to have the quick process to be like, all right, this is the most favorable option, right? Because they all got talent. They all got speed. But the decision-making is really a factor that comes into play when we're talking there. So, you know, I'll look harder at this tape, but there wasn't a lot to be had. And credit to the Patriots D-line. And I told you, we need to key on White. that fucking kid's a monster.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he had another sack and a half. I think he's already got 3 or 4 sacks in 2 games. And, like, he's only a second-year player. So, like,
why not put McIntosh in there and give him a carry?
You know, I agree with you.
14 carries for Charbonnet, and if you look at the Seahawks stat line on the wall, their rushing stat line is Charbonnet for 14, but and then Geno Smith for 5. Which, how many of those are planned? Come on now. So for the game, where the hell's McIntosh? The guy's quick. He's more powerful than we think. I think he's more powerful than they think, than everybody thinks. Give him one carry. K9 was out. What harm is it to give McIntosh one carry?
And he was our preseason MVP, right? On offense, 100%. Like, essentially. Yeah. Him and Howell, they both had great preseasons. And WrestleMania, shout out WrestleMania. But yeah, I'm in agreement with you here. Like, just let's see what the kid has, and, you know, just give him a couple carries. But I was incredibly impressed with Charbonnet's toughness and just over and over keep going. Shout out to Grubbsy again. Not many guys, when you look at these stats and everything, would have ran the ball 14 times with one guy. And then, you know, Gino, we might need to start putting in some design runs for that guy because he's electric.
Well, I'm a little scared, to be honest. We need K-9 now. Quick.
It was a good defensive front, all right? You know, and they're led by one of the great middle linebackers of the last, you know, decade or so. So, you know, they're going to be sound operationally. Like, yeah. So I was very impressed. Like, I'm giving O-line credit. It was a tough day, but I thought they answered the call.
Well, I don't know. The O-line, yeah, tough day. We won, like we said. I think that I was talking about being a little mad after a win or having that feeling of unsatisfaction. I mean, the O-line, I'd say this is a point of struggle so far, and he's got to get shored up. I mean, Gino, you know, when he had time to throw it, I mean, look, you know, look at the day he had, but he's under pressure a lot, under duress a lot. I mean, good thing he has such good pocket presence. But between the run game and the way they were, yeah.
No, but
I don't even have a question.
I know. Yeah, I know. You're being tested as a true fan. All right. And I'm here to be the voice of reason. Okay. And I got to go back to Grubbsy. I know I'm sounding like a broken record here, but you his play Grubbs, design. Dude.
Why don't you marry him?
Hey, maybe I will. So just the short crossers that he utilized was an extension of the run game. All right. So in years past where we turned around and threw it straight to bubble screens and stuff, that was our try to not, you know, buy time and like slow defenses down, but you know, it worked to at least make them rethink sending heat, and now they're outnumbered out there, right? Yeah. And so that's the strategy that I love watching. And then Grubbsy going no huddle, right? On the road. You think your fucking crowds are rowdy? All right, I'll shut them the fuck up. We're just going to keep going. And now you're going to be in some real basic, you know, man or zone schemes. It's hard to really get a blitz off and make sure, like, okay, we're not leaving anybody hanging here one-on-one with DK or something like that. And, like, that's what his up-tempo, no huddle to start the game. And then also the shifts in motion, man. If you're not on your shit as a defense, that will mess you up bad. It just takes one guy to not be on the same page as the other 10. And it's just like, oh, God, guys just running wide ass open, which was the case actually for us against the Hunter Henry screen. I don't know where our flat defender is. I don't know if they know where they are right now. Like that guy's Hunter Henry, like, is probably as fast as me right now. And he took that one like 50 yards.
Well, we got to move to the defense. As you guys are listening, keep filling up the chat. Put your questions in there. If you guys are hearing something that we've missed, you know, leave your comments. We'll get to those here as we keep going with the show here. But defense, man, they only gave up 20. So there, I mean, that's great. But some missed tackles.
20, hey. 20 in overtime.
Right. No, totally. Hey, listen, that's, I think, the thing from this game is, like, it's a win, but we have some things to talk about, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Family called into the living room. We need a bit of a meeting here.
Brett, nobody's perfect. We all have things to work on.
That's true. Right? That's true. And but that's the reason that we can all smile, though, is because it's a win. So that we always got to remember, at least this was a win. But the defense, yeah, I mean, they bent. They didn't break. Some great games out there, though, just from some individual players. For me, what stood out on the positive side, and then we could go to the negative, but positively, the pass rush, man. I love a pass rush. It's what's been missing. It's here. They're getting after them 2 weeks in a row. Williams, I mean, dude, just I love the pass rush and what's going on. Mafe.
Oh, yeah. Lonnie Williams, just fucking kicking ass and taking names today, man. Like, mm-hmm. this is why we traded for him. This is why we signed him back, right? And it was on full display. And I just believe the way McDonald's using him and moving him around, but then just the style that he plays with, I think he's finally getting comfortable, right?
Yeah.
Which is, man, it's going to be scary to see, because there was several times he just walked somebody right back, just like Murph. To be a rookie and just absolutely walk a grown-ass man back into the backfield one arm and then make the sack, it was just something awesome to see. Pushing the pocket, because we have edges for days, man. And Mafe, dude, Mafe, okay, so you have one here, had one last week, could have had two more last week. This guy just creates opportunities. And then shout out to Derek Hall. Like, he played his ass off today. That big hit at the end, right before overtime, like, Brissett got up slow. It was totally legal, totally clean hit. It was an incredible get off. And I feel like maybe the game is slowing down for him, because this is the beast that I saw at Auburn when he was flying off that edge, just killing people. Like, there was a total team effort. That D line, man, in the past game specifically, the one that forced the sack that they shared, Murphy and Williams and Mafe and Hall, every single one of them had an opportunity at the sack. They beat the shit out of five guys. Like, the four of them just beat the hell out of those five. And it was just, for me, it's 4:40 left in the game. You know, you're up 20-17. Patriots, 3rd and 6, and you're running it for a decent clip. I don't know why you don't just hand it off and see if you can get to, like, an easier field goal. We get the sack there, and then all of a sudden they got to kick a 48, and Julian Love,
yeah,
savage.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. The sacks, they're getting after the quarterback, but sometimes they don't have anywhere to throw it. Secondary is getting after people, and Julian, led by Julian Love, he's just two games in. You want to crown him with any? What, the defensive MVP of the league after 2 weeks, basically?
Hey, I better see Geno's name mentioned in offensive MVP, and I better see Julian Love's name mentioned in defensive MVP, just because everything he does, like, right? I don't know how New York let him out of the, you know, organization. This is maybe part of their struggles since his departure is not having this kind of guy, this leadership and this stability to count on, communication wise, everything. He was all over the place. Jenkins, smoking fools per usual. Woolen, man, like, and Spoon, I think Spoon might be too strong for the NFL. All right. So, cause he had a penalty, right? Or he just tossed the guy, and it was just, wasn't anything extra. It was just his sheer brute strength, which is crazy to say at 185, but this is the kind of savage we're talking about. Like, yeah, he don't give a fuck. Like, he's here to do a job. And if you're in the way, you're in trouble. Like, yeah, kid's special.
But it, like, cause that's how this game was. We won, but run defense, he gave up a lot on the ground. What are your concerns with the run defense? And we've been concerned about the run defense for a few seasons now. So this is historical.
Yeah. Concerns. Not yet. It's one game. All right. There needs to be a pattern, a couple games to where I'm just like, all right, this is a problem. So, okay. Yeah, you got to be the eternal optimist in this profession, in this line of work. So I am not concerned. That is a very disciplined, good O-line. That is a great two running backs, right? So, you know, everybody earned their paycheck today, you know, the hard way, because we knew what they were going to do coming in. And I don't think they took us out of our game. They adjusted well in the second half where they were, like, sticking to the run. They're like, you know what? We're going to 3, 5, 10, 2, 5, 30. Like,
they ran it 30 times with their backs.
Yeah.
30 times. 32 times, I think. Antonio Gibson, 11 carries for 96, and Stevenson, 21 carries for 81.
So half of Antonio's came off of one play where we missed a tackle, right? And that's probably got you alarmed, right?
Yeah.
We had in the backfield. I hate the same side toss. So same side toss is the running back. I'm the quarterback. The running back's to my left, and I toss it to him to the left. It's just the stupidest play I've ever seen in my life. Like, I don't know if it's ever – when I played it, I was like, are they serious? Like, was that
– Yeah, why wouldn't you just hand it to him?
I mean, do anything else.
Not like it maybe goes down as a pass.
Put him on the other side and just let him run across.
Sure.
And hand him off. Like, so at least people's eyes have to do some work, right? But somehow he broke, and he's a very talented running back and an exceptional receiver.
That play out of the backfield in particular was extremely maddening, though.
It was 44 yards. So that's half of his 90, right? So,
but and as you started to relax because Mafe had him 3 yards deep in the backfield. So it's like that thing you're on your couch, just like, oh, okay, they got him. Wait, what?
Yeah, you look up and. But you know what? I always like to go silver linings and point to the awesomeness. Spoon came out of nowhere and tracked him all the way down. I've seen Antonio Gibson take those kind of plays 70 plus yards, you know, over the course of his career. I've always thought he was underutilized in Washington. He's a guy that I was always begging for when we had some issues with injury with Carson and Penny years ago.
Yeah.
That's how special he is as a player. And so, but you give him credit, right? He was a special effort, but there were a couple times where they got through the line of scrimmage a little too clean. And I think it was predominantly when we were in two high safeties. So we have an extra defender outside the box, but you know, the coaches, McDonald and them, they'll look at it and they'll figure out a good path going forward, but I'm not concerned, you know, as everybody else probably is.
What changed when Baker left?
Well, they started running more, like, you know, and I shout out to T Knight, man. He looked great. He reminds me of a faster David Hawthorne. Like, the power he had, I wanted him to have a little more awareness of spatial awareness in terms of there's a third, pretty critical third and six where Gibson, like, and if you know, if Gibson's in, like if it's Stevenson, you know, play it honest, like just go downhill ready to hit because they might even hand it off and then just go for the fourth down. But when you have Gibson back there, your mindset should change as a player. You should be like, all right, this is a true receiving threat. And I would have, especially they had, I think it was Wollen was jamming the receiver X nasty. So it was a close split by the X. And that's where, okay, back up a little. They still got to go 6 yards to get the first down. I can always rally to the run. But if they pick and go out, which is exactly what they did, and he'll learn from it. He's young, man. And I guarantee you, this is stuff that wasn't, you know, expected of him at college. Like, this is next level thinking and understanding. He'll get there. But for him, he had a hell of a game. I was very, impressed by what he did. But Baker. Baker. I can't believe how easy he makes everything look. He reminds me of Leroy Hill in that regard, that just even open field, he's flying to the ball, but he's such a good athlete and so fast that, you know, you almost take it for granted when he comes to balance and then strikes and like smokes the guy backwards. It's like coverage is tight, everything. The wheel route, most linebackers panic. He didn't even, you're trailing, you know, because a lot of people are like, well, why didn't he look back? Because he caught up to the guy. Dude, you're in the end zone. You're not looking back. You're making sure he doesn't catch it. He poked with one arm and then he ripped with his right arm. And it was just, I couldn't believe, I was like, damn, that's one of the coolest plays I've ever seen by a linebacker that doesn't get put in that situation very often. He just very poised. And so I hope he's okay, because that's a big part of our defense. But Knight, I'm not worried, as he only gets more reps and knowledge. And Dodson, oh my God.
Well, there's a poll up in the chat. Are you concerned with the run defense? Yes, 42%. No. What is that a number? Katie, producer Katie wrote a 5 backwards. What the hell? I think that's, I don't even know what is. Thank
you. What's the okay, we can work through this. What were the options? No, 42. So I mean,
no is 42%. So
wouldn't that leave? Was it yes, no? Because that means, yeah, I think that's 50. I think that means 58 are 58. Right.
Right.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. I didn't know if there was a
5 backwards. You don't even know what you're looking at. So threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
Anyway, it seems like fans are not concerned, I guess. So far, anyway, you guys get well, your
no, no, no. 50. That means 58 said yes, they are concerned. But what are you talking? Wait, am I messed up here? Wait, what are we talking about? It says,
are you concerned with the run defense? No's 58%.
Oh, 42%. Right.
Yes. So, okay. Sorry. Okay. Reading a simple poll, you never would think there'd be that much drama involved.
Sheesh.
Anyway. Dodson, the one play where the run defense really did show up was the 3rd-and-1. Dodson's an absolute beast, and that was incredible. And boy, that felt great. I was up.
Did you hear the sound of that hit? I kept rewinding
it, turned it up, and played it again. Yeah.
Oh my God. And yeah. That was heads up, nowhere to go, just me and you for 1 yard. Yeah. And it was Dodson versus Stevenson. And all I heard was a shotgun go off. Like, it was insane.
Yeah.
Love that kid.
We're going to get to your comments. We're going to get to your questions here. Next week, Lofo, we got the Dolphins. They're coming to Seattle. You had a quick thought on that game. And, of course, a thought also on Tua and what's going on with him and his situation. It's a huge headline all the way around in the league.
Thoughts on the game? We go to the next opponent. They had a tough one. I'm expecting a very feisty, disgruntled team to come to Lumen and try to knock us off. So can't let your guard down any given Sunday, right? Tua, literally thoughts and prayers, because I've been in this situation. And, you know, I know everybody's like, oh, he needs to retire. It's not your decision to make. And, like, so I even feel out of my element speaking on it, because I got respect for the game, love for the game, love for all my brothers that play this game. But, you know, the game tells you when your time's up. And I don't know, he just signed a new contract, so I'm sure he feels the pressure to honor it. This is just the things that personally would be going through my mind and emotions. So we'll see what happens. I just hope he's okay, man, like, because that one looked like one of the least physical hits that he took, which is cause for alarm and concern, just for his health going forward,
yeah,
both mental, physical, emotional. It's just like they do a number on you, man, these concussions. I wouldn't say I'm over any of them yet, and yeah, I'm just trying to do the best I can.
So Skylar Thompson steps in at quarterback for the Dolphins. How scared are you of Skylar Thompson?
Scared, because I don't know. I don't have a scatter report on him.
Oh, okay.
Like, straight up. No, like, that wasn't even a joke. It's like, what are his strengths? What are his weaknesses? Like, this is the strategy that really goes into the behind the scenes that a lot of people don't get access to, is like, how do we take away what he does best, right, and make him normal? And you do that, and I mean, it's detailed down to, like, he is horrible throwing off his, like, rolling to his left. So there will be designed pass rush. That's how detailed. I know it looks like we're just a bunch of Neanderthals hitting each other, and for the most part, that's true, ladies and gentlemen. However, there is so much strategy behind it, and that's what just I love about – that's what allowed me to, like, make the NFL. Because you look at the numbers, not awesome, not pretty. One of the shortest, slowest middle linebackers of my generation. But with a lot of help, meaning my teammates, I had some studs at every position, and just guys that were willing to sacrifice and play team defense, you know, it works out. But, you know, and then all the hard work you put into it yourself. But it's, it's scary going against the unknown. How do you prepare, Brett? How do you prepare?
Yeah, I don't want to go into this game too overconfident either, with Tua out and this guy coming in and it's looming and all that. But at the same time, I'm super pumped, man. You got a chance to be 3-0 in the Mike McDonald era. I mean, the opportunity is right there in front of them. Everybody's looking up at us in the West right now. I mean, this is feeling pretty good, man, early in the season.